Welcome everyone to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host Jordan Brown on ESPN, ESPN.com, Giants reporter, back from Indianapolis. And what I'm going to do right here is empty the notebook. So just going to give you all the nuggets here. Straight nugs episode, right? Because when you're in Indianapolis, this is actually my favorite time of the year. You got the combine into free agency. And at the combine, everybody from the NFL is there. I'm talking general managers, most coaches, not just head coaches, assistant coaches, personnel people, agents, scouts, you name it, everyone in one place. And you're able to just talk about everything that's going on in the league, everything that happened this past year, people that you basically see face to face once a year. It all happens in Indianapolis, and the flow of information is great. So you get an idea of what positions, I'm talking about the Giants specifically here, are going to go after a free agency. And we'll get to that in a second because I got two that really stood out at the combine. But first, what I want to get into is the quarterback situation. Because I've been on this now for several weeks, and I'm not backing down. I'm actually going to keep going forward, double, triple down on it. I really feel that the Giants are intent on adding a quarterback, and I mentioned this before. The main reason is because of Daniel Jones's health. That's the number one reason. I know people, you say, well, Daniel Jones stinks, right? That's the narrative out there right now. Okay, well, Daniel Jones doesn't stink. Let's relax for a second. If we were sitting there at this time next year, he won a playoff game. Go back and watch that playoff game, played unbelievable against the Minnesota Vikings. You wouldn't be telling me he stinks. Now, does he have flaws? Did he play poorly this year? Did he get injured? Did he have a horrible offensive line? All of the above, but he doesn't stink. The reason I know they're looking for a quarterback, and that they'd be seriously intrigued, depending on how the situation plays out, to draft a quarterback in the top six, whether it's at six or above six, is because of the injuries. I've said this over and over. Two neck injuries now and a torn ACL. Three injuries in the last 3 years. And we're not talking about, like, you know, sprained pinky here. You know, turf toe. No. Two neck injuries and now a torn ACL. So does Joe Shane and Brian Daboll want to risk their professional future building around that? The answer, I believe, is no. And when you talk to people around the league, there's a lot of just crumbs out there that says the Giants are looking for a quarterback. Heck, they interviewed every top quarterback that was in the draft, right? So people tell you, oh, they've been all over J.J. McCarthy. They've been all over Michael Penix or Jalen Daniels. I mean, come on. They literally spent the same amount of time with every single guy at the draft, every single top quarterback. So don't be fooled by that garbage. But I'll say this. This is what I came away from the draft, the combine thinking. All right. There's clearly a top three quarterbacks in the draft. It's Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. You could flip-flop two and three any way you want. That's the consensus. The thing is here, the Chicago Bears, I mean, everybody there pretty much thinks the Chicago Bears are taking a quarterback in the draft. They're not trading. I mean, they're not keeping Justin Fields. They're going to take a quarterback, likely Caleb Williams. Okay? So that pick is now not available. Unless you want to give up like seven first-round picks, which the Giants aren't going to do that. Number two is the Commanders. They need a quarterback in the worst way for about, what, two decades. They have new ownership, new coach, new general manager, everything. They're drafting a quarterback. They're starting. They're resetting there. That pick is not going to be available. Number three is the New England Patriots. Also, starting over, need a quarterback in the worst way. Elliott Wolf is the general manager there. Elliott Wolf's dad, Ron Wolf, believed in basically taking a quarterback every single year. Do we think they're not going to take a quarterback? So, to me, it's that pick, maybe the guy they like isn't available, and so that's available. But you're like, oh, the Giants need to go trade up and get a quarterback. Yeah, there does not seem to likely to be a willing partner, though. Sometimes it's just not possible, right? And you need that team that's up there that has a quarterback. But no, you have three teams at the top that are likely not going to be willing to trade. So you might be out on certain quarterbacks. Now, here's the little twist to it all. And I spoke to a general manager recently, and he told me, and he said, there's four top quarterbacks. there's going to be four top 10 quarterbacks. And the fourth quarterback is J.J. McCarthy. And it is clearly the next two. That's Bo Nix and Michael Penix. First rounders, probably not top 10 kind of guys. Have some deficiencies. Obviously, a lot of people like. Still going to be probably, still likely going to be first round picks. But you have those two guys. And then a big drop. So there's four top tier, two second tier. We used to, going into the combine, I thought it was probably 3 and 3. But J.J. McCarthy has some fans out there, clearly. So number six could be in the mix. Maybe the Patriots think J.J. McCarthy is the guy. That would then open up an opportunity for the Giants to get one of the other top three. And if they want to trade, trading to number four seems to be, in my mind, the most likely option. So maybe one of those guys falls. I don't know, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Drake May is a guy I think the Giants would love. You hear them connected to Drake May, like they really like this guy. Now, I think it's likely that they will not get a chance, an opportunity at Drake May.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
But J.J. McCarthy, he's available at four. The Cardinals have the fourth pick. They're sticking with Kyler Murray. That's the spot that you could trade into. If somehow Jaden Daniels, Drake May are one of those guys available at four and the Giants love him, trade up to four. Definitely can see that happen. I think that's more likely to trade up to four at this point than to trade up to three. Maybe stay at six and take J.J. McCarthy. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities right now. Now, here's the thing about the quarterback position. This is a strong quarterback draft. If you don't get a quarterback in this draft, the Giants are hoping to be better next year, not draft in the top six. In a weaker quarterback class, it's going to be even harder to get one in the future. So how can you pass up at that opportunity this year? It doesn't seem likely. It doesn't seem like a smart move, to be honest with you. Like, well, what about that is smart? Hey, you know what? We'll put off that decision. We'll put off that decision for another year where who knows if we pick in the top six again, top 10 again, in a worse quarterback draft. So the opportunity is there. The only question to me is which quarterback they land on. If they can't get, let's say they don't love J.J. McCarthy and he's the guy that's there at four or six or whatever, the Giants decide to go in the wide receiver route, then yeah, I would say the next best move is to trade up back in the back half of the first round and go after Michael Penix or Bo Nix if you like one of those two guys. But it's their job to figure out. I mean, that's what Joe Shane and his crew will get paid big money to do. They have to figure out which is the guy, which is that quarterback, right? That's what they did, Joe Shane and company, when he was with the Buffalo Bills and his buddy in Brandon Bean in Buffalo, is they located the right guy. They got him at seven, Josh Allen. It's his job right now. And that, you know, Brandon Bean's good and his whole career is based off, hey, they made the right selection there, pretty much. Brian Daboll was there. Joe Shane was there. Well, they have to do the same here. You got to figure out which is the right guy. That's on them. And there's plenty of options here. There's going to be some good guys, and there's going to be some bad, some guys that end up being busts. Now, the way I look at it, there's six quarterbacks, the top. Let's consider it the top four. The likelihood is at least one of the top four is probably going to end up being a disappointment. And then you have Penix and Nix. The likelihood is one of those two guys ends up being really good or a stud. So it's up to the decision makers. That's why they get paid the big bucks to figure it out. And that's Joe Shane. Figure out which is the right quarterback for you. A lot of options. I mean, I like most of these guys. I could sit here and tell you, I don't think I would be disappointed if they took any of those six guys, to be honest with you. I can't sit here and say any of those six guys are definitely a bust or definitely won't be good. I really can't. Now, if they do draft a wide receiver, I will say I left the combine and I spoke to a lot of people and they're like, Roma Dunze is really good. He's a really good, solid, excellent talent, a top 10 talent, no problem. But Malik Nabers from LSU, I spoke to a wide receiver coach. I talked to a general manager. I talked to a personnel director. They all preferred Malik Nabers. And for one primary reason, right? I think one the quote one of them had was, he's a touchdown waiting to happen. That explosive, like, he's guaranteed to make the first guy miss, is basically what one guy said. And that kind of ability, they thought was special. Now, I'm sure I could find people who have them graded the other way around. But I was just surprised at how highly people thought of Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU. Now, before we get to the Giants' top two needs in free agency, or desires, I should say, let's go over internally what's going to happen with some of their own guys. We got Saquon Barkley. Everyone I kind of talked to out there, and I talked to a lot of people about what they thought his value was going to be. One general manager told me about $8 million. They think that market's going to be terrible again at the running back. But most people, agents, scouts, personnel directors, another GM, they were in like that $10 million range for Saquon Barkley. Okay, Giants actually offered him more than $10 million. But as somebody told me when they were talking to the Giants, they came away thinking that the Giants just don't see the value in paying a running back $10 million. Like, so they don't really want to bring Saquon back at a big number. Now, maybe they ultimately do. They stretch past where Joe Shane probably felt comfortable last year in their offers to Saquon. But it seems to me, and I said this before, like it was being greased for Saquon to exit. Now, the one scenario I do see where Saquon comes back is he goes to the open market. The market's terrible. It's $8 million a year. You know, basically you have to guarantee, let's say you have to guarantee 2 years at basically the full guarantee. It's $16 million over 2 years guaranteed. Like, if Saquon brings that deal back to the Giants, that I could see them matching. $10 million a year, questionable. Anything over that. And there was somebody I talked to, one agent, who thought there'll be one team out there that'll be willing to stretch and go $12 to $14 million a year for Saquon Barkley. Because there's still a good evaluation on him as a player. I spoke to a pro personnel director, right, of a NFC team. And what he told me was, if Saquon was in San Francisco, he'd be Christian McCaffrey. He hasn't had an offensive line, really, ever, since he's been to the Giants. That if he had that and that supporting cast around him, he'd look almost like Christian McCaffrey. And for that reason, the name recognition, I think there will be one team that ultimately puts enough money on the table. And I don't think Saquon's going to get the franchise tag this week. We'll see how that ultimately plays out, but I'd be very surprised if that happens. The one team will ultimately put enough money on the table at the Giants to be like, you know what? It's just not good value for us, especially where we are in our progression right now, right? They're not near winning a Super Bowl. They don't need to stretch for a running back, especially when they feel like they could fill the position admirably for significantly less. Now, Xavier McKinney is a little different. Oh, by the way, Houston Texans is a team everybody is talking about. I'm not quite so sure about that. Not quite so sure that they're the team that's going to make that big run at Saquon Barkley after speaking to some people. Now, Xavier McKinney, a little bit different story, okay? Young safety, 24 years old. The impression from talking to people in and around the Giants, they want to keep him. Now, they don't want to break the bank for him, which might be the problem, but they want to keep him. They can't afford to let 24-year-old talented players just walk. They can't. They're not in that position right now. And he's going to get in the teens, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, $18 million a year. That's ultimately going to be his range. So one of the tags for him, I don't think is out of the question. It's more likely he gets tagged as we sit here. I sit here taping this first thing Monday morning than it is Saquon Barkley. Now, he wants top five money. So that's going to be big time money. And his agent is really good. He gets his guys money, especially these safeties. You name the top safety, and David Mulugeta, who is Xavier McKinney's agent, has gotten him all top money. Derwin James, Jesse Bates, you name it. Go on and on along the list. And now he has McKinney and Antoine Winfield, who's with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he's likely to get the franchise tag, from what I hear. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. But ultimately, I think Xavier McKinney is back. I just think the Giants are a little weary about giving him too much money. Like, he has had some, I don't want to say problems, but there has been some incidents that came up in the past, right? You're talking about the ATV accident where he put himself in danger in a time where the Giants needed him. They were making a run that year at the playoffs. They ultimately made the playoffs. He ended up coming back, but he missed a good chunk of time. He got into it with Wink Martindale. We could sit here and say what we want about Wink Martindale, but Xavier McKinney clearly didn't have to say what he wanted to after that game. Now, I don't begrudge people for being honest, and I like Xavier McKinney, but I think the Giants are a little weary about making that huge investment in him as a person a little bit, and that's the only thing that's going to hold them back from giving him top of the market money from him. Okay, now the two positions, you've been waiting for this, right, that I look at, and I tweeted this the other day. I left the combine saying, okay, the New York Giants are looking at these two positions the strongest in free agency. We knew it was going to be offensive line, but I was going back and forth. Okay, tackle, guard, I could see either. Because as far as I know, and the impression I got, is Evan Neal's their right tackle only until he's not their right tackle. So there's going to be another player there that's going to at least be able to compete with him. But the Giants' biggest signing might be at guard. And I had Jonah Jackson's a name that's been thrown out there. Michael Onwenu from New England is thrown out there. He's not going to get there. Ezra Cleveland from the Jaguars, I don't think he's going to make it to the market either. I don't think the Giants are shopping at that top at the top of that market. But let's look at a little notch down, you know, like the $8 to $10 million range. I think that's more likely of where the Giants land at the guard position. Now, we'll get to names as we move forward here in the next week or so. But how about the other position that you're looking at the Giants? And you say, okay, what else are they really looking for, looking at? And you talk to people around the league that talk to the Giants, and they talk, the Giants talk to their players, and it's edge rusher. Need to find somebody to pair opposite Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, yes, they have Azeez Ojulari in the last year of his deal coming off a bad year, but you just need more bodies there, more quality players. So, yes, I do think the Giants are going to go after an edge rusher. Now, again, not at the top of the market. Danielle Hunter's not a guy I see envision them going after. That's out of their price range. Yeah, if Danielle Hunter came in at, you know, $18 million a year, maybe the Giants would go there. But he's not going to. He's going to get paid. Do it at 15 sacks. He's a really good player. He's going to end up being the top edge rusher on the market because Brian Burns from the Panthers is going to get tagged likely. Josh Allen from the Jaguars also likely to get tagged. So Dino Hunter then gets bumped up to the top guy on the market. Now maybe a guy like Bryce Huff would be the, you know, former Jets guy, would be the range that the Giants would shop at. And it would make sense. Like, they need that guy. Okay, straight pass rusher. Throw him into the rotation. You have a three guys who maybe between Azeez, him, Bryce Huff, and Kayvon Thibodeau, and Thibodeau probably maybe plays a little bit more, but the other guys ever playing like 80% each. Like, they're all playing a lot, but you don't want these guys playing 100% of the snap. You need three basically starters. So a guy like that in that range. And again, we'll get to more names as I narrow that down as we move forward, and I'll be making phone calls all throughout this week, next week, leading up to free agency. We'll get more into that. What this means is that, you know, they already cut Mark Lewinsky on the guard side. You know, what these two things mean, that the Giants are going to go after guard and they're going to go after edge rusher, is what it means is, all right, as far as edge rusher, we probably knew this. Jahan Ward, who is Wink Martindale's guy, is probably gone. He's a free agent. Right? I think he finished second on the team at sacks last year, at least for the edge rusher. And then on the guard part, they already cut Mark Lewinsky. That was a no-brainer, saving $5.7 million. He wasn't even a starter for most of last year. So you're not going to pay a guy or keep a guy on a roster that you save almost $6 million with. Keep him on the roster with an over $7 million cap hit when he's essentially a backup or borderline starter. That doesn't make any sense. So that was a no-brainer. Even though, and I said this, Mark Lewinsky struggled with the Giants, right? His first year was pedestrian at best, and he started off this past year awful. He had a couple awful games. One awful game, got benched, basically, for Marcus McKeith. Marcus McKeith was awful, got benched for the next guy. Azuda was awful. They keep going on and on. I know Azuda played left tackle, but you get my point. And then Ben Bredesen, the veteran there, appears unlikely at this point that he's going to end up being back, because if you go after a big guy, then you have Azuda and McKeith, and you look to add more guys in free agency, right? Where's the spot from Ben Bredesen all of a sudden? It's not there. So he might have been their best guard the last few years. I think he has been their best guard the past few years. Ben Bredesen, might be else. But the Giants are looking at, okay, we're going to try and upgrade at that position, pay even more. As far as cap space, I wouldn't worry much about cap space. The Giants are in, like, I think the $33 million range. Now that they got Glinski, they're close to 40. They'll get, they could rearrange the Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence deals a little bit. They could basically be near $50 million in cap space, which is more than enough to make moves this offseason. And Joe Shane has said it over and over and over again, right? His intention is to not build a team through free agency. They're not going to go out there and sign five big guys. That's not what they're going to do. They're going to probably make one or two big additions this offseason, just like they did last offseason. Bobby Okereke, Darren Waller, those were the two guys. One was trade, one was signing. Same thing here. One or two bigger notable additions, probably, again, like I said, not top of the market. You know, supplement with mid-range, fill out the roster guys in free agency, build more through the draft. Giants have some draft capital, remember, right? Number 6 overall. 2 second-round picks into the third round. You know, so they got a bunch of top 100 picks there. So that's how Joe Shane is going to build this team. Now, tight end is an interesting position because let me explain how this kind of worked out in Indianapolis with Darren Waller. All right, so the Giants are poking around on a bunch of tight ends. And at that point, I was like, well, why? And some people told me, hey, you should start looking into the fact that Darren Waller, I don't know if he's playing. So all week, I'm trying to figure out, is Darren Waller playing? Is he not? The Giants weren't 100% sure. They met with Drew Rosenhaus last week, and Rosenhaus told him, yeah, we expect him to play. That was what was relayed to me. And then Waller chimed in with the New York Post and said, you know what? I didn't make that decision yet. Let me say this. The second you contemplate retiring, you're already retired, even if you come back and play. So he's not going to be there. If he's thinking right now, if he's not sure if he's going to play, he's already not training and preparing himself to the 100% as if, you know, as he was earlier in his career, when you're hungry. So this is sort of the beginning of the end here. So not a great spot with Darren Waller, even if he decides to come back and play. Either way, the Giants are going to need contingencies at the position because he's already at least thought about the possibility of not playing. You know, he gets banged up again. Who's to say he's just not like, you know what, I can't do it. My body can't handle it anymore. This isn't to begrudge him at all. He has every right to do this. But the Giants right now are in a tough position, right? It's his decision. It's his career. It's his life. You know, he's been banged up the past couple of years. I'm sure, and I could tell, and I've heard, it's been tough on him. And you fully understand that. And he can now make a decision whether he wants to keep playing. He doesn't need to make it right now. He has time. But the Giants kind of need to figure something by the time free agency starts in a couple of weeks. So that'll be interesting how that plays out. Another little note nugget, finished with this, is the Giants have inquired about fullback, which is interesting because think about the Giants roster. They don't have a fullback. They haven't had a fullback in the 2 years under Brian Daboll. And let's be clear. This was made clear to me by multiple people at the combine. This is Brian Daboll's offense. It's not Mike Kafka's offense. It's not anyone else's offense. It's Brian Daboll's offense. It's Brian Daboll's place. So the fact that they're at least contemplating adding a fullback to the offense is interesting to me. And I don't think it's a terrible idea, especially a team that's weak on the offensive line. Adding a fullback is probably a pretty good idea. So we'll see how that plays out. That's a question I would love to ask Brian Daboll next time we speak to him. I guess we'll see before then the direction they go. But it's definitely something I'm going to keep my eye on. And with that being said, on to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I want to wrap up here with a little quick Jordan on the beat, a sort of RIP to the great Chris Mortensen, Mort, as we all knew him. This is the portion of the podcast where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. And you probably heard Chris Mortensen, legendary NFL insider for ESPN for years, dealt with throat cancer, passed away over the weekend, age 72. And if you go on social media, you're seeing tributes to Chris Mortensen. And the stories are pretty much all the same. He's on the Mount Rushmore of ESPN reporters, broadcasters, whatever. Not even debatable in my mind. And he was just a great guy. He helped everybody. He was so helpful to my career. You go look at the stories from everybody. He was so helpful for me with stories, reporting, etc. And he was. And I was a fairly young guy when I joined ESPN. At least I felt like it. And Mort obviously had this long accomplished Hall of Fame career already. And, you know, he would reach out to me and give me a thumbs up on a story and tell me you did a really good job with that. Or give me guidance. You know, you might have missed this. And just the fact that he would reach out to me, and he was invested and he read. You could tell he read everything. He would read a news story. And I remember he read a news story one time. He's like, you know, I think you should add, this quote is important to get into the story. You know, a random story, that Giants news story that he wasn't part of. But that's how often he sort of watched what everybody did and helped them out. And the story I go to is to me, and I mean, he helped out all the time, I'm telling you. And the story, obviously he was close with the Maddies. So when Eli was retiring, Dan Graziano and I, we kind of knew that he was retiring. And that it was that there was going to be the retirement press conference, because they, all his former teammates, were already getting ready to, you know, make plans to go there. But so we call Mort, and this is the kind of guy he was. He said, "You know what? Don't go with it yet. Let me call Eli." So Mort goes, calls Eli, confirms it 100%, even though we had it from two people. Tells us XX and X details, and then says, "You guys go ahead and report it. You don't need to put my name on it." Like, that's the kind of guy he was. That's the kind of way he helps you. You know, I would call him or text him and ask him for context on stuff. Or he would call me and give me tips on it. I was looking back at when the Giants hired Joe Judge. I mean, I was looking at my text with Mort. And I look back on the way that he's like, yeah, look into this guy. He's going to hire this guy in some form. You know, because the Alabama connections of the guys down there that Judge was going after are going to hire. And again, he's like, you don't need to. Don't put my name on it. And so he would just help me, give me tips, give me a validation. When Mort gave you validation on something you did, at least to me, it meant the world to me. Like, man, if he tells me I did a good job reporting something, that's how I knew I did a good job reporting something. So working with him was just an unbelievable sounding board and resource to have. I mean, how many people can you bring an Eli Manning retirement story to? He gets the ultimate confirmation validation, and he tells me and Dan Graziano, that's your story. Go ahead. Don't put me on it. Think about that for a second. Just an awesome guy. He's going to be missed, and I will miss him. I know everybody at ESPN and his family, that was always the number one thing he always talked about, was his family, his wife, son Alex. That was always his number one priority. Just a great guy. And I just wanted to finish up here by telling my number one Chris Mortensen story. And the thing that I realize listening to everyone out there is they all have similar stories. So many people have similar stories about him helping them. And, you know, from Daniel Jeremiah, Adam Schefter, who was especially close with him, Chris Berman, you know, everyone who was on the NFL, the ESPN NFL Nation beat pretty much, it says the same thing and has similar stories about Chris Mortensen. So rest in peace. You'll be sorely missed by me, and I'm sure by everybody else at ESPN. That's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. Free agency is on the horizon. I'll do a mailbag question, the Giants After Dark, I guess, coming up soon, because especially when free agency arises. So how about we do that next week? Start filing your questions. You know how to find me. Email, Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, email, you know. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends you're listening to Breaking Big Blue. See you next time.